You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast recommends... Podcasts we love.
Changemakers is a new podcast series with me, Claire McKenna, talking to people who stand up, speak out, or challenge us to think a little differently.
It's about the greater good, families and children, respecting their own individuality.
In the next couple of years, like, I hope I never have to have conversations about racism ever again. Like, I just want to get to the stage where, you know, people are just people.
Nobody's pooling the resources together and actually being able to show how much of an impact it will make when people do come together.
Changemakers with Claire McKenna. Search for it now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the David McWilliams podcast, I'm Grandmam, and the one you're listening to right now.
Welcome everybody to the Blood and Mud podcast.
Hello.
Hello. The podcast that really wants to do the full 2 hours of the French Argentina rewatch.
Yeah, I don't want anything else out of. I mean, that's all we're going to talk about this week, presumably. I assume.
Yeah, I mean, there were other games, but what is the point?
Oh, yeah,
France Argentina game was.
We'll come on to it, but yeah, why would we talk about anything
else? I'll give a little bit of Lee's house context.
Yeah.
France Argentina game. My daughter and wife, my son doesn't live here anymore, as we know. My daughter and wife had gone out for the evening to watch the 95 musical starring Louise Redknapp.
Where's
live
that?
In Liverpool with some friends.
Okay, fair enough. I was going to say, is she playing like Colin Bay or something? That's
Liverpool Empire, through. As it goes.
Fair enough, yeah.
And off they went. So I'd been working on The Guardian and all that. So I finished work just as the France game was starting. Mm-hmm. Watched the first half time, cooked myself a steak. Ate it with nothing else, just steak. Then watch the second half. Now, I know there are better Saturday nights in the world. While sat alone in my house, I can know my own mind.
I don't know if there are. In the grand scheme of things, I'm not sure we can definitively say that there are any better days than that.
That was a wonderful, wonderful evening. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But surely we will be talking about that later on, won't we?
I would imagine so, yeah.
So welcome along, everybody. Hello, I'm Lee. You know
you
that.
Are.
And over there is,
I'm Josh. I remain Josh. Just a
well, you say you remain Josh, but you are now blue tick Joshua. Are you not on the Twitter?
Oh yeah,
you are official. Gosh.
I'm officially me, which you know you could argue I've officially been me for some time, but you know now I'm really me. They can't think of.
Apart from the tick, what do you get? What's the experience of a blue tick man?
I mean, you get a whole concierge thing whenever you log on. There's, you know, people who tweet for you. There's a private members channel. I mean, I joke about there being a private members channel, but it's one of the most bleak and sad things I could possibly imagine. But when you get your little blue tick, like, you know, when you only got like all and mentions on your notifications bit. There's like a special bit that just says verified. That's where all the verified people go.
All the blue tick responses going out of there.
Yeah. It like filters out all of the what they considered the high quality people. It's genuinely.
Was the concierge thing depressing. A joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
I was going to say, fuck me.
You don't get anything.
It was like a funny log on thing.
I did it because of my job, and I feel a bit silly having it, if I'm honest. But, you know.
Well, you shouldn't feel silly, Josh. You are an official man of ranking.
Apparently so.
Not just in this podcast, obviously.
They fucking gave it to me, so more fool them, to be honest.
So how does it work then? Did they say, do you have to apply or do they
you do have to? You just have to apply and say, hello, I'm a journalist of an outlet. I don't want people pretending to be me on the internet. Here we go. And then they go,
because
yeah.
Because we have had some trouble with a twat, haven't we? Let's be honest.
I've had various problems with twats over the years. And occasionally one of them was pretending to be me. That was weird. Remember that?
Mm.
When they tried to pretend, they momentarily set up a parody Twitter account of me that lasted about six days.
I'd forgotten about
that. It was very weird that. It wasn't very funny, but it was very weird. so if that was you who did that listening, congratulations, because you made me just go, this is a bit fucking weird. I don't know if I like it, for about a week.
Yes.
Indeed.
But Ben Russell says the Twitter CEO must be a big fan of a big light or lamp.
I mean, it is my most significant and important cultural addition to the world. I think it's the biggest sort of most important cultural offering that I've given to it. And you know, obviously it's sweeping the nation now. So,
well, we thought the All-Star Game was a thing that would grab worldwide attention.
I genuinely thought so, but apparently not.
But it turns out it's the epic big light or lamp game.
Refit Man says, now that Josh has the blue tick, does that mean he has horribly centrist takes and everything? I mean, yeah, well, strap in and find out, guys. I'm about to be right down the middle.
Josh is the least centrist person I've met. I'm centrist, to be honest. I am a dad and I am centrist. I'm tragic, basically, probably. So,
see, the irony is I consider myself to be broadly down. Well, at one point I considered myself to be relatively centrist, but I think the last couple of years has rendered that whole position increasingly silly. So
I think the weird thing about, you know, like I've probably said this before, you know, the American Midwest is not actually in the West of America.
Yes, yeah.
It's actually in the middle. It's actually in the East, a lot of it, if you draw a line down the middle of America.
It's true. It's very true.
Most of it's in the East of America, but it's called the Midwest. And I do get that this country now has become anything that sort of suggests like nationalizing railways means you're an unhinged communist lunatic.
Yeah, exactly. So anything to the left of
what the left is now, what the center is now is completely out of the window, isn't it? So,
yeah, doesn't,
so I
doesn't
suppose given what most of our views might be, we're probably center now, or are we? Oh, I don't know.
I think we're basically Maoists in the eyes of a lot of rugby union. So,
Maoists, we're now going to stop washing for the rest of our lives and live in one room like he did.
We're going to collectivise this podcast. And I don't even know what that means. It just sounded funny.
We've collectivised it, and every single thing we do will be the greatest, another triumph for the People's Republic of Blood and Mud. So,
indeed.
Right, hello everybody. So anyway, I'm Lee. Hello. Over there is Blue Tick Joshua. Obviously, it's been a very busy weekend of rugby, of which we'll be talking a lot. So we will try vainly, probably, to raise Sudi's beginning bits and then do a load of weekend chat behind the paywall, obviously, to get a big reward for you patrons. Thank you very much. But before we do that, we'll let people like to say, what have been up, apart from watching all the rugby and me eating a steak in the France game, what have you been up to this weekend, Joe?
When it gets to that point in the year where you just go, I've got to sort the garden out before winter and cut everything back and chop down everything that's dead now. That was me on Sunday. It was fill a big bin with cuttings and shit.
Was it in time for your last brown bin collection? When you brush it all up and you stick it, you think, fuck, they're not coming till March.
See, they collect my green bin all year round, but I have I have to pay £35 a year for the privilege. Otherwise,
well, let me tell you this.
You won't pick up my green bin at all.
In Flintshire, I've got to pay £35 a year for not even all year round service. They pack it in October.
That is an absolute disgrace. I mean, to be fair, they might well stop it here and I just don't notice.
Exactly.
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, because there's nothing to cut, is there, between October and March?
No, so exactly.
You wouldn't notice, would you?
Yeah. And my garden's not that big that, like, I have to do a pretty serious cleanup to fill that bin.
I've got my willow tree died and got cut down and taken away, which is very sad.
Yeah.
And what's happening now, which I'm loving, in fact, is all around my willow tree stump that was left behind is a veritable fucking terrifying forest of mushrooms.
What is up, like, with mushrooms this year?
I was like, what's going on here then? It turns out they feed off the rotting, they live on the rotting trunk.
Right, okay.
So I've basically noticed... saying, as long as you can stand to have them there, leave them, because they'll just keep feeding off the trunk till it dies and they'll rot into the ground. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm all about biodiversity. That's a centrist thing to
fucking
do, isn't it?
Not,
biodiversity
indeed.
In your garden.
Damn right. I tell you so, what, yeah. though, I've noticed a lot of mushrooms this year. Maybe it's just I'm just noticing it. But I feel like there's more mushrooms this year, like just around the place. They're everywhere. Is that a controversial take? I don't know.
I had some in my front garden as well, which I've not had most years. So I can't. Is it because it's warmer and wetter than usual?
It might be the warm. It's still like, fuck it. It's November and it's fucking 12 degrees.
It was 13 degrees here today.
Yeah.
The mushrooms are fucking loving it. Shorts on.
Crazy motherfuckers.
Taking up all the fucking towels on the sunbeds. Loving life.
Honestly.
So yeah, that was me. So Sunday, my nan come round. My nan's 84 now. And she's... I was treated to the entirety. Her life now is just a caravan of cafe disappointments. So I was treated to the full reasons as to the nuts. She went to four cafes, as she was called, cafes last week. Last week, and was disappointed by each of them for different reasons, including one of them. She's got no idea what things cost. What things cost, so she's fuming.
That's
so she went to one, and I went to one. He said, "I ordered a chicken burger." It were all made. She said, but we're all right, but it was like that big. They're obsessed how big about that big, she said. And on the side, the thinnest chips I've ever seen, she said.
She's never allowed to go to the Gourmet Burger Kitchen.
The thinnest, £12.95, the thinnest chips I've ever seen. I said, that sounds bad, that now. So anyway, I went to another one. They said, do you want this? I said, I didn't. I said, I'll just have a toasted tea cake. So they brought it out. They brought it out to me. It come. Or they buttered it. They just buttered the middle of it, just in the middle there. Nothing around the outside. And I didn't want them to butter it before they brought it out. So I said, okay. And I said, did you ask them to bring you some more butter? You can do the outside. Well, no, I didn't want to do that. And it's just open anyway. And I was like, well, so basically what you've done is instead of giving this young couple who've opened a cafe a chance to, like, right, you're just basically passive-aggressively going round the whole of Northeast Wales, slagging them off because of the butter policy. Like
you've not given them a chance to actually just do the bare minimum of, like, putting a mistake right in the service industry, which is pretty... Yeah. And, yeah, I mean...
I mean, she can't use TripAdvisor, but she's
thank God for that, frankly. Shutting down places left and right.
But I want to go to that cafe just to see if I can quantify the figure, you know, and the thinnest chips that anyone's ever seen. I want to go there to see what that actually is.
Genuinely, if she ever goes to the Gourmet Burger Kitchen and sees their skinny fries, which even I think, as a fan of the skinny fry, are a bit much.
Oh, all right. Controversial.
I mean, they're basically like matches. That's the level of thinness we're talking. I'm not exaggerating there.
Have the French got a word for that specific kind of
probably, fruit? Yeah. But it's almost like, it's more like shredded almost. They're very tasty and very crispy, and I do like a crispy fry, but she would lose her fucking mind.
Oh, yeah. So I can't wait for next week, where she's going next week to have her life ruined.
Oh, that was the other thing, actually. I was doing the garden. I was supposed to be doing the garden with my in-laws.
Okay.
Who were coming over from Somerset, because they like to garden, and their garden is perfect, and they like to do garden things.
And they judge you as a result of it?
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, it's free labour, so I'm not going to complain. But my father-in-law was feeling a bit under the weather yesterday, so just my mother-in-law came over. And so I was, you know, in the garden for about 3 hours with my mother-in-law, and she just, you know, she did her thing and cracked on. After about half an hour, I realized that as I was sort of raking up leaves and stuff, because, like, there were tools involved, I kind of started singing I got hoes in different area codes to myself. And then after, I realized that I've been doing that sort of out loud to myself. Because, you know, you're doing gardening, there's a hoe. I'd made myself laugh with the little joke, and then it got stuck in my head. So for half an hour, in the presence of my mother-in-law, I was just singing about having hoes in different area codes. And I don't know if she noticed, but she didn't say anything to me, so...
It'll just go unspoken between you.
In about 15 years, it'll come out.
Well, there you go. More gardening scenarios and all that Indeed. Kind of stuff. Me nan and a cafe disappointments. So anyway, so that's us this
Exciting
weekend.
Stuff.
I'm off to, in other words, in other news, you know, people don't really go to the office anymore. I've not been in the office much. Tomorrow, I'm going to Birmingham overnight.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, my first trip away is Birmingham overnight.
Well, that is absolutely obscene.
Isn't it? So, yeah, I've got to get the train at 8 o'clock tomorrow. The train with other people at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning and go to Birmingham. Although it's a conference thing. I'm actually genuinely quite looking forward to the subject of it. But
and it's nice to do something a bit different.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
But I'll be taking my tape measure and measuring the thickness of the chips. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So, if you want to get in touch with us, I am Lee at bloodandmud.com or at bloodandmud. On L Twitter, you don't want to get in touch with me any other way, really. No. I'm on Instagram, but I don't use that for anything to do with this podcast. It's mostly just me noodling on my guitar and taking photos of the dog. But you're welcome along if that's what you want to come have a look at.
Indeed.
And what about you, Josh?
At Josh Gardner, or indeed at @rocked_mag for more apparel related chat. Somebody emailed me on the pod email again this week. It was quite a funny joke. I didn't respond, but I thought it was good. I shared it in the Facebook group. But, you know, just show I am reading these things. I'm never going to respond, ever. But I am reading these things.
Anna S. says, Birmingham, Lee, is luxury. I've had to do an overnight trip to Widnes. Widnes, also thinking to change his name to, they're going to change his name to What's That Fucking Smell? Because that's what people say the minute they arrive there, usually. The old chemical plants.
There's a lovely old solid in Mountain Ash near where I'm from. There's a lovely old horrendous piece of post-industrial toxic horrendousness that used to be a smokeless fuel works until I was about 5 or 6. You know when they turned like coal into things what didn't smoke that were supposed to be cleaner, but they just sort of and it yes. genuinely. It's been 30 years, it's shut, and it still smells of gas.
I don't know why I'm laughing. It isn't funny.
It's genuinely horrendous, like, in terms of the environmental impact that thing must
Mountain
have.
Mountain Ash is another, I found this out, gardening, because we've planted a rowan tree in our gardens.
Yes.
It's a native English British species. And I didn't know that's also called Mountain Ash, which I'm assuming is something to do with where that town got its name from.
Yeah, I guess there must be lots of mountain ashes. I mean, it was described, it was called the Furnacite plant, or just the Furnacite.
Anthracite and Furnacite were the big sort of a development in house coal to try and convince you weren't killing everyone and yourself.
Yes, it was basically for London, so that London had less smog. People in the Cunham Valley got cancer. So
that's the pitch for Erin Brockovich 2 done there Josh.
So. I mean, you've watched that thing about DuPont.
It's Dark Waters, belting film.
Yeah, I mean, they could easily.
Looks quite a lot like Mountain Ash, that bit of West Virginia, whatever it is it's in.
Yeah, I think there could be one about the Furnacite.
But there's a lot of superstition about the rowan tree, particularly in Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently it's still considered bad luck in Scotland if a rowan tree falls on your car.
I mean, I'd consider it bad luck if anything fell on my car, but each to their own.
So that's how we get in touch with us. We're on Acast. We're on Apple. We are on patreon.com.
/...
Blood and Mud. Well, you can come along and get yourself a joining thing. You come up to the window, mm-hmm. you throw your money on the counter, you say, let me in, and we will let you in to the Facebook group, which you only get if you're a patron. We'll let you in to the patron private RSS feed where you get all of the episodes unclipped and you get extra episodes and all that malarkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do.
£2 a month or £20 for the entire year. Get it out of the way. Just pay it, sorted. Get all of us,
set
all of this
and forget. Every week. That's how I pay for my Premier Sports, and that's how I'm still subscribed to Premier Sports because I keep forgetting to cancel it every year.
Somehow lost my Sky Sports subscription when signing up for Sky Glass.
Really?
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, not the end of the world. It's fuck all on Sky Sports anymore.
Yeah, but then I wanted to watch the Browns last night, so I had to sign up again. But it's, it's on a one-month rolling contract, though, so I can't live with that. So, yeah. Other thing you pay for, £5 a month or £50 for the whole year, you get a bit of a biography read out on air.
You do, yeah.
I'm not any this week, so there's no biographies to read out. So,
oh, well.
So there you go.
If you want that, though, crack on.
If you want that.
Yeah.
Patreon.com, with your fingers, mash them into the keyboard, patreon.com, slash blood and mud, and you can come along and get a special membership. You get an app. You can use the RSS feed in any of your usual podcast apps. It's all wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff.
It is indeed.
Shall we begin as we always begin, Josh?
I think we better add.
Let's talk with a player spotted. Now, patron and long-term supporter of the pod, Tom Osdobe, has been in touch.
Hello.
Who really wanted me to read this out because he sent it to me three times.
See, the difference between you and I there is that would then make me less likely to read it out just for being difficult's sake. But...
But it's an opportune time to read it out because Tom lives in France, right? And Tom says, Toulouse really is Valhalla. Fair dude.
Oh, fair play.
He says, as Friday, this is ages ago now because he sends me three times, but either way, he said, sighting of none only than Antoine Dupont. Spotted.
It's a big gun.
Spotted sitting at a pop-up refreshment venue on a boulevard popular among the city's petanque players.
I mean... It's perfect, isn't it? I bet he's fucking brilliant at petanque.
Of course he fucking is. A pastime I simply cannot muster much interest in, says Tom.
Mm.
I love how the French can make anything look cool, like petanque and shit. Like, if the French did Crown Green Bowling, everyone would want to do it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, there's a pub around the corner from me that's got its own petanque fucking, I don't know what you call a big bit of gravel field. Not really.
That. Is petanque the one they lob the balls? The bulls?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, silver balls, isn't it? Unless I'm totally wrong.
That's the only French game I know, specific French game,
I guess. Yeah, petanque is the shiny silver balls on the gravel. That's the one.
Yeah. Anyway, so even the off-season, the young man was steadfast with a Perrier, distinguishing himself from everyone else around. As French norms of indifference dictate, remarkably little attention was given to his presence.
I love French norms of indifference. Yes. That's a beautiful sentence.
And he gave the young man working behind the bar a fist bump as he grabbed his motorbike helmet.
What?
And made a quiet exit. Antoine Dupont on a motorcycle.
I can't picture. I can't picture Antoine Dupont on a hog, but I can picture him on a little scooter.
See, I've got him on like a junior kickstart scrambler type thing.
Yeah, just revving it way too much and doing a little wheelie as he drives down the street. Yeah.
As he drives off.
But I can also see him being one of those ones with like a Vespa with one of those annoying horns and like an open helmet. And he's like, meep, meep, and off.
Yeah. I'm just picturing Antoine Dupont and Junior Kickstart with Peter Purvis. Just staring at him with French indifference as he was asking him questions about, you know. So when did you first get into motorcycling in Toulouse, Antoine? Stare dead-eyed.
Now, Antoine, we're going to ask you to drive along this steel beam precariously thinged over a small waterfall, and then we're going to put out some logs, and you're going to have to do a very tight turn around them very, very slowly.
And of course he'd win it.
Of course he'd win it. I mean, he's an athlete. There's, you know, he's not going to mess up something as simple as junior kickstart.
My next door neighbor, Gaz, in my last house, was on Junior Kickstart. It made him a bit of a local superstar back in the day.
I fucking bet.
He's bald now.
Oh, well, I mean, you can't win them all, can you?
You know, it's a story of life, really, isn't it? An allegory of life that you go from being on Junior Kickstart to being bald. And indeed, you're just going to roll with it. I spent most of the time chatting to you about cutting the hedges that separated our properties in a friendly way. It wasn't a fallout job.
It's incredible. I love the nature of some like 80s TV series and game shows in that how many series of Kickstart and Junior Kickstart do you think there are in total?
Now, the way you've asked the question suggests that there's actually probably about three that just kept repeating.
Or are there? I mean,
I don't know. You tell me. You've obviously just looked it up. So
there are in combined 18 series of Kickstart and Junior Kickstart, 9 each of the seniors and the juniors.
So it ran for a decade. See, I'd have thought it went longer than that.
Yeah, 79 to 88. And then a one-off special in June 1988. The junior one carried on till 92, actually. That's obviously what I remember.
But and Peter Purvis hosting. I mean, he's been 64 years old for 72 years, Peter Purvis.
Yeah, he's basically been the same age since he left Blue Peter, which was, fucking ages ago.
So thank you, Tom. Your badgering has done the trick. It is a good one, though. I can't believe that. Just get forgetting. So, you know, just so you know, Tom will show, just mither me. Don't mither Josh. He'll just ignore you even more and block
true.
You.
True. He's a blue tick man now.
He can literally send heavies around
your
house.
Too good for the likes of you.
Yeah. He could, he's, you know, you've got a private security to send around people's houses now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Anybody. I'll tell you what, it is funny how people seem, genuinely, people have been much more, what's the word? Polite about my shit opinions.
What's the word? I've never come across this before. Yeah. Polite, that's the one.
Weirdly, everybody's like sort of being really sort of like reasonable instead of just being a dickhead back to me for being a dickhead. I find it very unsettling. I might have to stop having opinions.
Right.
Yes.
Should we do some news?
We should.
I'm busy this week, isn't it?
I'm busy here Wikipedia in do you remember Cluedo, the game show version of Cluedo?
I don't.
Chris,
I remember
with
the
Chris
pub
Tarrant.
I remember the pub quiz machine Cluedo.
Oh damn right you do. I love that. I spent Touch a lot screen. Of money on that in university.
Oh,
in
I
the
got
Itbox.
So much money in that.
So I rinsed. I got so much money in the Itbox between the ages of like 17 and 23. I dread to think how much money I spent.
I was student union when I think back. They brought in a Coronation Street gambling machine because it's a private members' place. Obviously, the fucking jackpot's like 150 quid and stuff. People were just chucking money in there. It's like, this isn't very, looking back on it now, it's like, this is
really
very
not
unethical.
Cool.
We've it's all got about 12 quid to our name.
Yeah. No, it's very like, I can probably count on one hand the number of times I hit the jackpot in either pub quiz or Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and my two Itbox guys. And I probably maybe won them about 5 times in total over 5 years. And the rest was just pissed money down the drain.
I mean, I'm not a big, huge fan of... in that I don't mind... I've got nothing against gambling, but I'm not a fan because I find it generally a bit boring.
Same. But I just like the quiz.
But like with the horses and stuff, you think, well, that horse might fall over and mine might win or something.
Mm.
Who the hell's putting money into fucking into bandit machines, which are computer programmed to fucking be much cleverer than you are?
Yeah, the fixed odd betting terminal thing, I think, is genuinely fucking appalling because it's like, there's not even as you say, it's not even like football where you might just get, you know, a freak of something and fucking Burnley will beat Man City 4-0 or something. It's like, no, that will not happen. The computer says, no, that will never happen. Congratulations.
My granddad gambled on the horses. He was, you know, that type. And he had, I think he probably had something approaching a problem, really, at times. He got himself into some unbelievable shtuck with the fixed odd betting terminals in his 70s. Oof. Like, properly scared the shit out of himself and had to, like, stop it. They're fucking terrifying. They're absolutely awful, terrifying.
Awful things. Genuinely horrendous.
He's gone now, God bless his soul. Well, but yeah, he sorted it. But yeah, he frightened himself, I think. Anyway, news-wise.
Yes. Eddie Jones has shown his arse again. I mean, does it even count when rugby's most easily verifiable arsehole says something that a total arsehole would say anymore? Yes, apparently, because he's...
What is it this time, Josh? Tell people who may not know, but they must know.
Yes, he's basically patronised Marcus Smith while at the same time being both disrespectful and wrong about Emma Raducanu by basically saying that Marcus Smith needs to not be like Britain's most successful female tennis player in the last 50 years or whatever it is. And do things like have a life outside of rugby, occasionally do things for commercial agreements, go to a nice dinner somewhere in a nice dress, and that sort of thing. And he needs to focus on his rugby, which, I mean, I get what he's saying. When you become a superstar, all of these things will suddenly be on your plate, and it's very easy to lose focus. But I mean, who is Eddie Jones to lecture anyone, be it Marcus Smith, Emma Raducanu, or anybody else, about the importance of focus for a professional sports person? That guy can't go a fucking week without taking up some new fucking consultancy gig. Imagine how good England would be if he'd focus on his primary fucking job instead of moonlighting for every cunt with a checkbook. It's beyond fucking parody now.
It's also a bit of a nonsense, really, because in this day and age, everything, including you're away from sport activity, is all managed to the micro minute.
Absolutely.
If you're an international sports person, even in rugby, which is still relatively relaxed, you're not telling me there isn't a can. You come to training then, you go home then, you eat then, you've got to go and do that, you sleep that night. That night you go out. It's all unbelievably managed anyway. Yeah, so there's no way that your manager's going to go, I've got your 97 days on the bounce of going out and going to movie premieres. You know what I mean? It's just a fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I need you on the catwalk of the Met Gala. Oh, by the way, it's the same day as, you know, the last week game, the Six Nations. That's not going to be a problem, is it?
Don't worry about the Tennessee stuff or the Six Nations stuff. It's fine. It also assumes that people are just like, yeah, I don't want to do sport anymore. I just want to fuck around. You know, it's... I don't know. Some people are like that, but I think it's a different. I mean, it's just a different world now.
I mean, that's certainly how he thinks. But like, genuine. The other thing is that he just described her as the girl that won the U.S. Open and didn't have the bother to know her name before disparaging her professionalism, which is like, for fuck's sake, man, it's not hard. She's got a very memorable name.
Now the people not getting now a bloke who's 60 shouldn't be lecturing 18-year-old girls about whether they go out or not.
It's real, just like, what are you even? I also enjoyed that the Times podcast today, which I love with you. I don't listen to, but I just saw Times Sport podcast today, the Rock one, whatever it was Owen Slott joined by Stephen Jones and John Inverdale to discuss it. Emma Raducanu, Marcus Smith, and Eddie Jones. It's like, yeah, there's three incredibly qualified people to talk about what it's like to be a young sports person today.
I mean, you know, we have a few
on sports people. We're no different in that, but it just made me laugh that it's like, let's get special guest John Inverdale on to talk about being sexist about people.
Harley Worthy said
I'd love to see Smith. Me too. I'd like to see him in a nice dress.
You're the one who suggested it. But yeah, imagine he'd look lovely. That beautiful clear skin and that hair. Imagine that hair whipped up into something beyond my quiff.
I mean, I really like Marcus Smith as a player. And obviously, he has a haircut. But it's not like he's got fucking... It's not like he's got a mohawk, is it? It's like Marcus Smith's haircut is by some distance one of the least silly haircuts in rugby union right now.
He's just got a floppy fringe.
Yeah, he's got a floppy fringe that he sort of brushes back into a slightly sort of spiky thing, which has been the sort of de rigueur, handsome young man haircut since about 1912. Have you seen the entire New Zealand team who are having to cut their own hair? But as soon as the camera panned to him, what does Mark Durden-Smith say? there he is with that haircut. It's like, it's not a fucking haircut, mate.
It's a side parting.
Yeah.
It, as you said, it is the most basic, normal haircut that anyone's ever had.
It's really not that different. Yeah.
What was it? What is it Ron Swanson says? Only three acceptable haircuts: buzz cut, high and tight, and crew cut. Add to that side parting, probably. They're the four completely boring, acceptable haircuts.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's just I don't like how he's being depicted, and like the media just seems to treat him like a sort of strange, fascinating, like objet d'art. And it's like, no, he's just the best fly off in England.
And as somebody who had
leave him be.
Thick dark hair with a side parting through most of the '90s, middle part, I'd like to just say that it's nothing to be laughed at or pointed at. Is it because he's got hair that might have come from a slightly different ethnic background, and people can't fathom it?
I am really fucking glad you said that, because I've been dancing around that for the last.
I know, you don't know how to put it, do you? But basically,
he's got fucking Asian hair. What do you fucking do?
Like,
speaking of somebody who
had stuff that was not dissimilar to Asian hair, genuinely, when I was that age, I do get it. It's big, and it's, well, look at me now. I'm grey now, but, and it's, it's just bizarre. It is a little bit like people fucking staring and open-mouthed at Colin Kaepernick's fro, isn't it?
It is exactly that. I've been watching a bit
and
of that.
And somehow judging him for it.
Yeah. Have you watched any of that yet?
I have watched all of that.
You watched all of it. I watched a couple of episodes, and I was like, "Oh, I mean,
it's very good." I mean, obviously,
I mean, I knew. None of it is shocking to me, but at the same time, it's just like, God, being non-white in America is rubbish. But yes, very good. I enjoyed it.
As King Slane said, he's a young half Asian man. That lid's been in favour since 1850.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then points out that obviously half Asian Eddie Jones probably had hair like that at some point in his life.
Probably did, yeah.
Although, to be fair, it's not him that's mentioning his hair all the fucking time. It's people.
No, it's everyone else.
He's more bothered about him using his hair to go to...
Yeah, maybe getting a fucking Head and Shoulders
movie galas or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the point.
Yes. Yeah.
It's always worrying when the first example you grope for... Sorry. Terrible phrase to use, but the first example you go is an 18-year-old woman when you're an old man.
Yeah.
Was it no, like, it was, you know, you couldn't think of anybody maybe you managed that happened to, for example.
Yeah. Or anybody who's no longer in the England squad that you were, you know.
Yes, like, indeed.
Or James Haskell going to the fucking royal wedding, maybe.
Yes. Anyway, once again, just, I mean, the journal, they'll report anything he says because he gives you column inches, doesn't he?
Of course he does. Every time he opens his mouth, there's a new story because he says something stupid now. And it does add to the thing that he's just trying to get sacked. But
he's so bored.
He's so fucking bored. Oh.
Any more news?
Just before we came on, Ken Owens is apparently going to miss the entire Autumn Nations series due to this back injury that he's been troubled by, which means we've got another two games of Ryan Elias and Bradley Roberts. So,
well, more good on that later, but...
I mean, yeah, credit is going to have to be given where credit is due there. But yeah, I mean, it's still extremely suboptimal, let's face it.
Do we want to cover the outcome of the pitch invader man here in news, or are we doing that later?
Oh, has there been? Well, I missed that entirely. What's happened?
Lifetime ban.
Good.
From the Principality Stadium.
I mean, it's kind of the least.
Well, it's completely expected.
Yeah. I mean, some people said that his club should not be allowed to have tickets anymore, and I think that's certainly fair if that's the way their players are going to behave.
I don't know. I got a bit of a... When that video was circulating afterwards of people lobbing pints at him as he was coming off while security held on to him, it had a little bit of the medieval stocks vibe about it, which I'll be honest, I'm not really here for. I'm not really into that.
Under normal circumstances, I wouldn't be either, but I thought in this case, the only thing I didn't like about that was that the fucking stewards got as much beer as he did.
It was a fucking
This is why they had stocks, because that way there's no there's no collateral damage. You know, you just put someone in there and they get the full brunt of it.
So what you said, they should have mobile stocks that you put pitch invaders in and then wheel them all around the stadium.
We've got to provide a deterrent to these people.
While people lob beer. We assume it's beer at these people.
Indeed. I mean, fair enough. He shouldn't be allowed near rugby again because he's a fucking moron. But, yeah.
And Kerry Jones says here, Kerry's read that he's also been investigated by WRU as a player to see if he's broken conduct rules too. I think we need to maybe calm down a little bit. He was pissed that he wasn't a pitch. He shouldn't have done it, but Thousand done it before. He should be banned and stuff. But trying to find every avenue to ruin his rugby existence does not seem like a very proportionate response to me.
I mean, I agree with you to a point, but I also...
That means you don't agree with me, but go on.
I agree with you to a point in that I completely agree that it's probably a bit much going after his every waking stuff. But like... I just think it's like the natural end of, like, it's the peak of this fucking criminally unfunny fucking banter mentality that absolutely permeates both British men culture and particularly rugby culture. Like, yeah, what do you expect if we sort of dickheads from all across the fucking rugby strata basically fucking... giving a frothy fucking reception to that absolute waste of DNA Jarvo for the last 2 weeks. And it's
you can't have it both ways, can you?
Yeah, it's the thing. You won't accept any responsibility for encouraging that kind of criminally unfunny shit in the name of banter. Like,
that's the worst thing about it to me. It's unbelievably not funny.
Yeah,
pretending like it is.
Yeah, rugby's definition of humour should have everyone involved sent to the fucking Hague. But
it's the Mrs. Brown's Boys of banter videos. It is.
You know, it's like, but now it's materially impacted a test match. Well fucking done. Like, we'll never know what would have happened if Liam Williams had pinned his ear back.
He would have got tackled because there were three players coming across.
He probably would have, but Liam Williams is very fast and he's also quite good at sidestepping. And we don't know what would have happened.
He'd already pivoted before. He'd pirouetted because the pass was behind him anyway. I mean, it did impede him, but he wasn't scoring there. We'll never know now.
We'll never know. Exactly. The thing, we will never know what would have happened after he'd been tackled.
Narrator, I know. He wouldn't have scored.
He probably wouldn't have scored, but... who knows what would happen in the phase after or the phase after that? Because all three of those box defenders were careering across there, desperately trying to make the tackle. There's a massive hole in that fucking box defensive line.
He might have stepped inside a bit better, mightn't he? Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, yeah,
It was a knobhead thing to do. It materially impacted a game of rugby in ways that we will never know whether it would have changed the game or not. It might not have. It might have. And it's a direct, you know, he only did that blatantly because for the last fucking... it feels like forever, all of the world's biggest dickheads have been determined that that Jarvo guy is fucking hilarious. And just like, can we not? Can we just like have humour that's funny for 5 minutes?
There's something coming out of that. There's something underneath that Jarvo guy anyway. He's obviously being paid for by fucking Paddy Power or somebody or something because he's getting too much access and too much coverage quickly.
Yeah. How is he getting into all of this fucking shit all the time? He was at fucking NFL when I was there the other week. It's like...
I never heard of him. Somebody said to me, I'm sick of this Jarvo cunt. I thought they meant Lee Jarvis. I had to look it up. I was like, yeah, I agree.
Also sick of him. But also sick for of different him. Reasons. I tell you what, forget all of the sort of like punishments and fines and WRU taking action. Have you seen that video of the lad who tried to tackle Xavier Rush in a kebab shop?
No, I have not, no. But I can imagine how it went. But yeah.
I mean, you can imagine how it went, but you genuinely are not prepared for what's going to happen. Because, like, you know, Rushy's being very game with it. He's standing there, he's waiting for his kebab, you know, And these two lads, you know, this group of lads are like, come on, let me try and tackle you. Let me try and tackle you. And so he sort of dips his shoulder a bit, and this lad gets to run up at him from basically the outside of the shop to the counter. And Rushy just sort of does that thing that Xavier Rush always used to do when he was running with the ball, of just sort of like popping up the shoulder and kind of giving a bit of the forearm as well. And the guy actually takes off, and it's genuinely one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and I cannot stop watching it, and I'm going to keep watching it on repeat forever. But I think and then Rushy, having absolutely knocked this fucking guy on the floor on his ass, his mates are absolutely pissing themselves. Rushy just quietly turns back to the counter and waits for his kebab without any reaction whatsoever. It's glorious. But
one of my favourite ever rugby videos is the Welsh lads on that steep street in the valleys. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Well, he says, you've got to run him and tackle him. And he says, if you knock me over, I'll pay you 20 quid. And he just gently steps out of the way and the bloke rolls down the street. And I know it's fucking infantile, but it's the unbelievable pissing themselves that everybody watching is doing. Just always makes these videos.
It's the sort of absolutely unearned courage in your own physical capabilities compared to a rugby player. It's like, oh, I could fucking tackle all of these fucking things. It's like, this guy's been retired for 10 years and he's absolutely destroyed you.
It's like when you watch him, it's a bit like saying, you know, I've skateboarded once. Give me that surfboard. I'm going into the Pacific in Hawaii. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of feeling. It's like, yeah, I'll go take on a 40-foot Pacific wave because, you know, I know how to stand on something. Do you know what I mean?
It's extremely that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I think, you know, rather than that, we should just make him try and tackle Xavier Rush and then we can all just move on.
Yes.
We'll all have a nice laugh and then we can move on.
Any more news?
A couple of bits and bobs. Owen Farrell didn't actually test positive for COVID-19, it turns out. It was a false positive, apparently. Or Eddie Jones just really wanted us to watch an above average club fullback play 10 against a team who had a coach who was 7,000 miles away doing it over Zoom.
I've just watched that video of Xavier Rush.
Genuinely. It's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
He goes like a fucking Gaffron wheel. He almost flips 360 and lands on his back.
It's the reaction of his mate who has the look on his face that genuinely just. He's completely aware that he has just witnessed a story that they will be retelling for decades about that time Xavier Rush sent him into space in a fucking kebab shop.
And not for nothing. The bloke's hair and leather jacket, bomber jacket thing is a disgrace.
Yeah, it's awful. It's like a Barbary kind of leathery jacket, isn't it? And he's wearing loafers with no socks. Like, all in all, it's a perfect combination of things that I'm absolutely happy to see that happen to.
Anyway, that's probably the end of the news, isn't it?
It should be the end of the news. Owen Farrell didn't test positive for COVID. Oh, well.
So he's back in the squad now, isn't he?
Back in the squad, ready to go.
Not quite in the news, because possibly that means Louis Line is out the squad.
Yes, I still
and I
want
just,
the...
I want some shenanigans here.
I really want some shenanigans now. Yeah. There's still time for Australia to call Louis Line up this week. They've lost a couple of players in the back line. They can say that it's perfectly injury-related, but... I want Louis Leina to go into that game with all of England's attacking game plan and just give it to to Dave Rennie and go, there you go. Start me on Saturday then.
So that's the news.
Yes.
Let us now. We're going to move into the weekend. Well, about 15 minutes sooner than we normally do. We're still not
bloody
exactly quick.
Bloody hellfire.
And talk about the many, many games on the weekend, which is obviously for
so
the patron
many
subscribers.
Games.
So if you want to listen to all our, you know, well, you know, it's probably nonsense, but if you want to listen to it, you can go to patreon.com for Blood and Mud and sign up there and get a special RSS feed and listen to it all. So non-patrons, goodbye, and we'll see you soon.
Acast recommends
podcasts we love.
Changemakers is a new podcast series with me, Claire McKenna, talking to people who stand up, speak out, or challenge us to think a little differently.
It's about the greater good, families and children, respecting their own individuality.
In the next couple of years, like, I hope I never have to have conversations about racism ever again. Like, I just want to get to the stage where, you know, people are just people.
Nobody's pooling the resources together and actually being able to show how much of an impact it will make when people do come together.
Changemakers with Claire McKenna. Search for it now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the David McWilliams podcast, I'm Grandmam, and the one you're listening to right now.
So that is the end of the weekend, and we welcome back our non-patron listeners. And my pen isn't working because I'm trying to write something down, which is very annoying. Yeah, so
we do some shit good then.
No, we've got some predictions to do.
First. Oh, of course, we've got to do some predictions first, haven't we? Yeah,
do the shit good. Obviously, we've got the prediction league going with our friends at Match Pint. You download the app there, you go to the Guinness Pint predictor, and you predict the scores for each game every weekend. And we've got our own special league, and you can use code Blood and Mud to join that league. We've got 100 odd people in there now, 150-ish people in there, all competing. Yep. If you predict within a certain winning margin, you win a pint for yourself. And if you predict within 20 points, you get to give a pint to somebody else. I've got pints to give to people. I've still not worked out how I'm supposed to do it. I'll be honest.
Neither am I.
I'm going to do it. If you want a pint, DM me. If you're in the league and you want a pint, DM me and I'll send it to you. Although Guinness 0.0 is out, it's getting rave reviews, and I fancy having a do on that.
Why not?
Can we just give
where
a...
Where are you in the league, Lee?
I am. I've moved up. I've moved up to 30-odd from 60-odd.
I've fallen down to 15th.
Have you? You were like, weren't you like 7th last week?
Yeah. And I
How have you done all, so I badly?
I got all the results right, but so did I. I don't. I think I overestimated how much New Zealand would beat Italy by.
I did all that. I think I got 10 points for every game this week.
I think I did. I think, yeah, I got 71 points in total, but I only got like Scotland was the only one, and France were the only ones that I got bang on. Well, not bang on, but like nearly bang on.
I could have just completely made up my position there, so I'm just going to check. I'm 53rd. I was just making that up. I've moved up from 66 last week, so I have moved up. It's
been a big week for you.
It has been a big week. However, I just like to pick up people doing a hell of a lot better than us in our ridiculousness.
Yes.
Is Christian Cox, who did very well last week, absolutely, he's nailed it again this week. He's top of our league and second in the whole world.
Fucking hell.
Got 96 points this week, including the perfect New Zealand-Italy score. How do you do that?
Jesus.
He's had two perfect score predictions.
That's incredible.
Absolutely amazing stuff. Second place is Christian Rose from Wales. And third is Callum Rose. No, sorry, Christian Jones from Wales is second. Callum Rose is third. Fourth is David Rogers from Scotland. And fifth is Dave Poole, who's got Fiji as his team. So I'm assuming he's from Fiji or he's just whatever. But yeah, so come and join in. You get to predict and get to realise how terrible we are, obviously. But you get, so you go to Match Pint, download Match Pint from wherever you get your apps from. Join up, click on the Guinness Pint Predictor. Go to join a league, use the code blood and mud, word and in the middle of blood and mud there for good stuff. So let's do quick predictions for the weekend then. So we've got Italy-Argentina, which looks a very interesting game now.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if Italy defend like they did against the All Blacks, then Argentina only scored against France through genuine
batshit silliness.
a blatant forward fucking knock on for that try at the end, where I still don't understand how that was.
Or he smacked it into his face.
Yeah, it's like
I think they're saying the ball didn't leave his hand as he slapped it. Nothing obvious, I guess.
Using someone else's face as a backboard isn't allowed in rugby. But I'm prepared. Look, I'm prepared to try the rules out and see how that goes.
Imagine how tired O'Keefe was by then, though. Honestly,
just give it. It's funny. Fuck it.
Yes.
I think Argentina by like 8.
See, I don't know why I fancy Italy here. I think they'll be a bit pumped up from the weekend.
Part of me thinks it's going to be a draw. I think it's going to be like 9-all.
Italy by 5, I reckon.
Yeah, mate, see, now you're saying this, I'm wavering.
Narrow Italy win, I think.
Yeah.
In a really terrible low-skill game.
Real bad game. But I still feel like it could be a draw. I still think it could be like a 9-all or 12-all draw.
Scotland, South Africa.
Scotland. I think Scotland.
You've already said you fancy Scotland, yeah, in the full discussion of the weekend.
Scotland by 5.
I've seen nothing from South Africa that suggests that Scotland can't do it.
Mm. Why not? That's why not now would be my sort of.
If not, yes.
If not now, then when? When?
You have to say that, don't you?
Indeed.
I genuinely think the way Russell's playing, I think he could be. I know it's easy to say it, it's obvious to say, but I think he could actually be the difference because he's probably the only truly outstanding half on the field, really.
Yeah.
Unless Frans Steen plays there now.
Well, obviously, yeah. That's the thing. They're going to have to play somebody else at 15. So, yeah, I look at that box. The Scotland defence is very good. And a lot of that Scottish team seem to have a chip on their shoulder about the Lions and how they should have played all sexy, sexy rugby. So, fucking.
I also think genuinely.
Money we both is, lads. Yeah.
The Scotland 9, 10, 12, 13 is one of the best around.
Best in the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They will fucking go into that Bock defensive line and they'll give them a lot more to think about than Wales did.
And you've already mentioned the shithouse back row that they've got in the best possible way.
Yeah.
And Vermeulen played terribly last week.
He spent his entire time
shouting at the referee. Focus on doing some tackling or something.
He spent a lot of time putting his hands directly on the floor and then coming back to the ball and then looking baffled as to why he was getting pinged for it. It's like, Dwayne, you're very old now. You should understand this.
Somebody said the Ulster effect is creeping in.
It would be very unfortunate for Ulster if they signed Dwayne Vermeulen just at the moment where he's gone.
Where he's gone full Augustine Creevy.
Just
wander around.
Be fucked. I'm here for the paycheck.
Shout to the ref. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think I think we both think Scotland narrowly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see why not.
Ireland, New Zealand. Ireland will never have a better chance to beat New Zealand, but they won't, prediction.
I think Ireland will never have a better chance to beat New Zealand than they will, because New Zealand will
take... obviously, they've beaten New Zealand in the past 5 years. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying.
Indeed, if not now, when?
Again,
But also, I just think the thing that worries, not so much worries me, but if I was a New Zealand fan, the thing that would worry me is how complacent New Zealand look and how they look like they just need to turn up. And I think for 60 minutes against both a shit Wales team and Italy, they basically were broadly had parity, despite them being two incredibly limited teams. And okay, things got ugly in the last 20 minutes, but Ireland have the fitness and the defence and the structure to not let it get ugly in the last 20 minutes. And if there's less than a converted try between the two of them in the last 20 minutes, like, I can see the All Blacks just fucking... I don't think it's going to be... Ireland by 3 is what I'm saying.
New Zealand by 10, I'm saying.
Also could easily happen. Could be. could it just as easily be New Zealand by 30.
It couldn't just as easily be Ireland by 30. That's not going to happen.
No, I don't think we'll be seeing another Chicago, but yeah. I don't know. I've got a good feeling about them.
Well... We're jinxing people left, right, and centre here. But it's
yes.
England, Australia. If that Australia team turns up to Twickenham, England will win by 20 points. I'm not normally the arrogant English cunt in the
group. No, I agree with you. I'm hoping that a better team than what turned up against Scotland turn up. So I just think England by 9.
Yeah. I'm going to be confident. Fuck it. France, we're into the daft stuff now. France versus Georgia.
France by 25.
I'm saying France by 35 in that one. They scored 29 points against the fucking mad, insane Argentinian crazy people. Georgia are not a good team.
No, they're not. But I do think there's a, because of the sort of club associations, I think there's a real chance that at least half of this game could be spent fighting. So,
well, again, on last week's evidence, they all play in France together, so they're all going to kill each other. Let's go. And then, well, Josh, the goat, the spectre of Fiji is looming. Sunday game, so you can, you know, the only thing you can, you need to focus on.
Luxuriate in the misery.
You can go to church in the morning and maybe pray. Oh, yeah. Again.
I think probably Wales by two, because I just think as much as Fiji are a decent side, I don't think, you know, again, their coaching team is staying at home. Fucking Lavani Bottia's pretending to have a knee injury just to not be there.
Oh, yes, like, he turned up later.
What the fuck is that about, by the way?
Oh, lads, it is, bro.
Oh, yeah.
It's bro, lads.
Lavani has had to leave the squad because he needs knee surgery and then literally gets named in the Rochelle starting 15 the next day. What the
fuck? I mean, it's completely out of order, but you can't do anything but admire the absolute brass fucking neck of it, though, can you?
Yeah, it's like, Just tell him you need knee surgery. All right. We haven't got any doctors here because we can't afford to fucking fly him out. So
what about on Saturday when I'm playing? Let us worry about that. You just tell him you need knee surgery. Don't worry. We'll deal with the world. We'll be coming. We'll deal with the investigation. Don't worry.
He's just stretching it out. It's fine.
Yeah. We thought he broke his knee, and then we did some analysis, and it turns out that he just banged it on the wardrobe. So we're all right.
I think it's going to be a truly appalling game where Wales are going to look like losing it for large swathes of it.
Well,
and then they might.
Four words, just, Josh. Seb Davis at eight.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's going to happen. Something bad is going to.
Yeah.
Some bad things are going to happen this weekend, selection wise. And, you know, I don't even know what's going on with the teams. Why is Callum Sheedy playing fucking Bristol this weekend? Like, he is in the Wales squad, and then they've just gone, "Ah, you're such an afterthought to us now, pal. You might as well just stay with your club." It's like, why? I don't understand anything. And so Wales by two.
I think Wales by 10. I think Fiji will just lose it a bit. It'll be relatively comfortable by the end.
Oh, Jesus, I hope so. I think at least I would be amazed if Wales aren't behind at half time.
and another sofa is broken in your house.
And lo, another sofa is broken.
Now it's shit good time. That's a prediction. Yeah, so come and join us. Get download Match Point. Join the league. Use the code Blood and Mud. Predict your scores. Win yourself some booze. If you want some booze, I've got some pints to give away. If you're in the league, you can let me know and I'll send them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something like about 9,500. No, sorry. 2,600 pubs across the country that accept the tokens to get free Guinness in. So go watch a game, get yourself a free drink. Right. Shit, good time. Have you got any shit?
Shit. I mean, I don't like saying this, but fuck me, the Black Ferns have gone from mildly concerning...
We didn't talk about that, did we?
...to genuine fucking panic stations. Is it like they lost 43-12 last week and it was a record? And the Red Roses set another record, 56-15, man. And they had Portia Woodman back. Not even Portia Woodman could fix this. it wasn't just the scoreline, it was the man. Like, England got absolutely steamrolled them in every bit of the game. Set piece, the breakdown, the general physical battle. They looked like, you know, they're less than a year from the World Cup now. And honestly, it's going to be really interesting now seeing how the Black Ferns go against France next week. Because honestly, like, France have given England much more of a fucking game this year than the Black Ferns have in either of those last two games. And if they lose that test as well, just stick England's name on the World Cup now, because there's nobody else is going to touch them.
I struggle to compute a quiet confidence playing against New Zealand, but I'll have to just get used to it now.
Yeah. Like, it was... It was as absolutely comprehensive a win for England this week. It was almost as comprehensive as the men's win against fucking Tonga. That's how bad it was.
And I got a bit of a window. I was watching this at the weekend. So we didn't mention it, but I was watching this at the weekend. And I was like, this must be what it feels like to be a men's New Zealand fan all the time. It's really weird.
Just knowing that you're absolutely physically and, you know, tactically and organisationally completely superior to anybody else in the world.
Yeah.
It also, I guess it also must have sort of made you feel a little bit of like what it's like to not be English as well, because like this England team are really likable.
Yeah.
And lovely. Yeah. And I really like them. I don't hate them at all.
No. There's something about the route to the women's games via the unis, isn't it? Not via vast elitist private schools. So. Maybe chip on my shoulder. So, you know, I have to admit there's nothing reasonable or rational about it. I'm just, you know,
How big is that chip, Lee? Is it a skinny chip? Is it callback?
So that's got shit here. James Mackay Mount gets in touch. Shit is South African fans and their video analysis. You've won the fucking match and you're still pissing and moaning, lads.
It is very unedifying, I will say.
Well, it's almost like when the person right at the top of your rugby organisation makes it okay to piss and moan like for an hour on a video analysis after the game that you didn't like, then it somehow gives carte blanche to everything. Like saying that a bloke walking the pitch is fine makes a piss head go on the ground the week after. This is what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it's almost like trickle-down economics, but it actually works, unlike actual trickle-down economics.
It's not been completely rubbished, but yeah. Yeah, it's a funny one. I mean, you know, rugby is... I like the fact that rugby has contentious decisions that you can talk about. Although I know a lot of people who are not massive into rugby find that the most infuriating thing about the sport, but I quite like it. I think it brings... And that whole refs having different interpretations thing, I quite like.
I don't mind it, yeah.
It's frustrating sometimes, but I do quite like it. It gives a bit of character and stuff. But, you know, you just got to accept that happens sometimes, haven't you? We all have a bit of a chat, but it's just gone beyond now.
Yeah, I think it's like there's a difference between, like, talking about aspects of genuine shithousery that have happened after a game that, you know, have not been caught and need to be fucking dealt with. Versus complaining about sort of marginal decisions in a game you won that didn't go your way, but were probably broadly right, but maybe were wrong on a different day. It's like that level of, I'm fucking bored of it. What are we gaining from rugby union from doing that all the fucking time?
And we've all done it a bit.
And we've all fucking done it. Yeah, I know.
There's a point which you've got to make a choice and go, you know what? I'm not going to spend fucking hours pouring over this shit anymore. Yeah. Callum Forsyth gets in touch. He says, shit is pitch invaders. You're not funny and everyone hates you.
Yeah. Agreed.
Very pithy, Callum. I like that. That sums up the whole argument, I think. It's a good, but good though, is you and Ashman. Brilliant debut for 70 minutes off the bench. And what a fit. Yeah, what a finish that was, by the way.
But yeah, we haven't spoken about it, but Jesus, we have alluded to it, but fuck me.
Slight into kilos. Yeah.
Ooh, 110 kilos he weighs. How? Outrageous.
Ryan Glendening gets in touch. He says, shit, is the All Blacks have added Shad and Frizzell back to their match day squad. Only six months after sucker punching a woman and a boyfriend. You've also missed Ryan mentally tormenting them for days afterwards about how he was going to come after them.
Yeah, threatening them through text.
Great culture, though. No dickheads. No dickheads in that
squad.
No
dickheads, only cunts.
Yeah. Jonty up north says, shit, is the Tonga lads going home with 3% of the earnings of the England players for making the same effort? England were making a very big point of the six-figure match fee that they were giving to Tonga for that game.
Yeah, six figures.
Which is better than not better than five figures.
Better than five figures, yeah. But in the same way that getting fucking, you know, punched in the stomach is better than getting kicked in the balls. It's like, yeah, I suppose it is better, but, you know, it's still nothing to be fucking proud of.
Frey Goodman gets in touch and says, shit, is Eddie slagging off Emma Raducanu for no reason? Yes, indeed. There is a reason. He's a twat. That's the reason why.
I'm glad you said that.
Any more shits from you?
Nah.
Let's move on to good then. Lloyd Williams. Have you got any goods?
We haven't covered already. Good. Wales women won a game for the first time in 2 years. I know he's only Japan, but Japan are actually, Wales are so bad now that Japan are only ranked one place below Wales in the women's world rankings. And given everything that's happened in the last 2 years, absolutely nothing was off the table there. So just a great reward for everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks with the women getting professional contracts at last. And yeah.
Only 10 bigger. Of them, but it's a start, I guess.
Yeah, 10. Then they're going to have 10 sort of retainers, aren't they? So 10 full-time pros, 15 retainers, right. And everyone's getting match fees and expenses, which is fucking so much better than it used to be.
What have we got? Are you going to, speaking while we're on women's rugby for a minute, are you going to mention, I'm assuming you're going to mention Simi Pam at some point?
Oh, what a fucking try that is. I bloody love her. She's absolutely no business doing what she does.
No prop should be able to move in such a way. No,
she is an absolutely insanely just all-round athlete. And
she kind of, well, she took in sort of the 12 channel, didn't she?
Stepped
in once again, through the line.
Once again, proving that front rowers are the only people who can run fucking good lines in modern rugby. But yeah, just if you haven't seen that try, I mean, she amazing. Only scores fucking brilliant tries by the looks of it. But
fuck, I mean, the power to get through the tackle, then the gas when she goes.
That's the thing. She absolutely fucking sits down two players and then just goes, see you fucking later.
And just gasses.
It's amazing. So good.
Lloyd Williams gets in touch. Sorry, I was going back. She's good as the Black Ferns scrum half. Kendra Coxedge seemingly deciding that rather than this rugby malarkey, she was just going to see how much of a shithouse she could be throughout the game. And the answer was a fucking lot. A lot of time for that. If you're going to have a bad day of it, just start shithousing.
Completely agree. That was basically Tate McDermott's whole fucking energy when he came on. He's just like, right. I'm going to be a cunt.
James Gorkrudger gets in touch. He says, good is Thibaut Flamont. Yeah, 5 years ago, started as a fly half for Loughborough, and now he's a fucking lock.
Imagine it was
a fly-off. I mean, not a single shred of that makes any sense at all. Not a lick of sense, anything about his fucking career trajectory.
It's the sort of thing that doesn't happen in professional sport anymore, and it's all, you know, it's all the better for it that this wonderful. Still happens in rugby. I love it.
Patricia Vieira gets in touch. She says, good, our you know, half Portuguese friend. She gets in touch. She says, good is Portugal beating Canada.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
She's also good as Andrew Conway, especially his hilariously ramshackle third try. Nothing summed up the state of Japan right now more than that Andrew third Conway try. Yeah. Andrew Conway's hat trick try as well, the actual try that he scored.
A word for Canada, though. Kingsley Jones and Rob Howley and Byron Haywood's Canada. I mean, talk about a fucking triumvirate of people you don't want in charge.
Ben Russell has just pointed out a last-minute shit. I've just seen that Hong Kong are now ranked higher than Canada in the men's rankings. Hong
Jesus
Kong.
Jesus fuck.
Which is basically a town.
Isn't everyone that plays for Hong Kong just people who've, you know, gone, you know, are expats who haven't been
money
bothered to go home?
Something.
And money launderers. People who work in financial services who play a bit of rugby on the weekend. God.
Stuff.
Unbelievable.
It's genuinely really quite sad.
It is, because Canada is a proper rugby fucking place.
It's a rugby town, rugby place, yeah. Martin Richard Charlesworth gets in touch and says, good is the Red Roses. Yeah, we've talked about mm-hmm. that. Andy Bradshaw gets in touch and says, good is the Imperial Death Star stuff. Oh, fuck off with the Leicester. Well, we've had enough now. It was charming for about a week. We've had enough now. Andy Bradshaw, he says, good though was Wales. I know they lost, but to be that close with a lack of leadership and experience has to give hope, doesn't it? Well, you're a patron, Andrew. You've just heard how much hope it's given Josh in the break. So I'll leave that. I'll leave it at that.
Fucking loads, mate.
Anne Harris says, good is the apologies to the Wales fans amongst us, but Fran Steyn's long-range penalty was simply awesome, as was his delight when it went over. following on for that as well.
If you like that sort of thing, yeah.
Dave McIntosh says, good was Francois Steyn. Came on early and did Franz Steyn things, nailing everything in defence and thunder-cunting penalties from 800 metres. Also looking weirdly elusive at times. It's odd to see what appears to be a 48-year-old lumberjack ghosting through an international defence. Yeah, probably where Nick Tompkins should have been stood. Guaranteed. Yeah.
He has basically got the body of a prop.
It's remarkable. I'll say it again. He looks like he should be in Montana with a rifle, telling the federal government to not come on his land. That's what Franz Steyn looks like. Owen Glendower gets in touch. He says, good is everyone at the major trauma unit, Ward 10 at the Jubilee Wing of Leeds Hospital. They've saved my knee and bolted me back together. Just need bone grafts now to fill the 8-centimetre gap in my right femur. Fucking hell. This is the other week you'll have heard that he's come off his bike.
Jesus.
There's photos this week of him with it's indescribable. But Owen, we're glad you're on the mend, but it sounds like a lot of physio ahead of you. So, hopefully we'll keep trying to make you laugh or piss you off or whatever through this time. J-Mask Double Vaxxed OC gets in touch. He says, good is old man Sexton. He said, but it's shit that old man Sexton is still the starting 10 based on form. It must fit. Give me a bit of comfort to see the Sexton Carberry thing again, though. At least that's, it feels like things are normal again.
Yeah.
Dave McGee gets in touch. He says, good is Ellis Jenkins. Oh, my God, Ellis Jenkins. 100 times Ellis Jenkins. We didn't mention him before, surprisingly.
No, I thought he played very well.
He did play very well, didn't he? Didn't do any contact in training last week. That's the answer.
Which is obviously another another ringing endorsement of why is rugby still doing fucking contact training.
Yeah. If you're a professional rugby player at the age of 28, if you don't know how to tackle, then...
Yeah, turns out contact is not a great shock to you.
Okay, that's us. I think
just it is
over 2 hours. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much, Josh, and we'll speak to you all
pleasure
next week. Ta-da.
Bye.
Gotta press the button loads of times.
Sports Social Podcast Network.